Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Similarly, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building on the day Lot left Sodom. Fire and brimstone rained down from the sky to destroy them all. So it will be on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day when someone who was on the housetop and whose belongings are in the house must not go down to get them. Likewise, one in the field must not return to what was left behind. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses it will save it. I tell you, on that night there will be two people in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken, the other left." They said to him in reply, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will gather." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we pondered how the kingdom of God is among and within, because the king is there. It's not something that we can point to here or there, but it's something that we're supposed to find everywhere because he's already present. We're not going to discover the kingdom in spectacle, but discern the king and his kingdom in ordinary circumstances. Today's first reading, we see that all created realities are meant to be a reminder of the king and his kingdom. Book of Wisdom tells us that from the good things seen, we're supposed to succeed in knowing him who is. From studying the works of the artisan, we're supposed to discern their creator. Everything, fire, wind, air, stars, water, plants. Today in morning prayer, we were talking about hailstones and snow and hoarfrost and water. Through all these good things seen, we're supposed to find their author. For from the greatness and beauty of created things, the original author, by analogy, is seen. Problem is that we often lose the connection between sign and signify. We stop at the work and fail to get to the worker. We search busily among these works, but are distracted by what we see, because the things are fair. It's an interesting comment. They're beautiful. We're distracted by the beauty. St. Augustine had talked about this in his Confessions when he said, "In our unloveliness, we stopped at the loveliness of your creatures." That often, rather than being drawn by beauty to beauty with a capital B, because we feel ourselves unbeautiful, we just arrest at the beautiful things of the Lord to distract us. We've got to reconnect between the source of beauty and how beautiful he has made us. And from there, good is meant to lead us to how he proclaimed us very good. Sometimes fail to see everything in the world, including ourselves, as the fingerprints and the footprints of the Creator. That's why it's essential for us to develop the spiritual habit of reconnecting everything in the kingdom to the King. St. John Paul II, toward the end of his papacy, 2002, returned to his love of poetry because certain things can't be expressed in prose. He wrote three poems in his Roman triptych. The first was called The Stream. It's broken down into two parts. The first, on wonder, and the second, on following everything to the source of that wonder. He wrote, "The undulating wood slopes down to the rhythm of mountain streams. To me, this rhythm is revealing you, the primordial word. What are you saying to me, mountain stream?" And then he answers the question. If you want to find the source, you have to go up against the current. Tear through. Seek. Don't give up. You know it must be somewhere here. Where are you, source? Where are you, source? Silence. Stream. Stream in the wood. Tell me the secret of your beginning. How carefully you have hidden the secret of your beginning. The Book of Wisdom is calling us to go from created world to its source with a capital S, to find the fingerprints and the footprints of the Creator everywhere, and to go through, to tear through, to seek, never to give up in finding it. This is what today's gospel is all about. The contrast between living in the kingdom and how some are oblivious to it. Jesus contrasts Noah with those who perished in the flood. He contrasts Lot with those who perished in Sodom. What was the difference between Noah and Lot and all those who died? They were attentive to God, to the signs he was giving. The others weren't. Jesus, through these examples, are encouraging us similarly to be on guard like Noah and Lot, and to read the signs and to follow them to the signified. Jesus says that when he comes, we shouldn't head down into the house to get possessions or come in from the field, because we shouldn't leave the Creator for creatures. Two will be sleeping, two will be cooking, but only one will be taken. This isn't to be misinterpreted as if God's somehow going to do an arbitrary 50-50 split. Rather, it's saying that some in the very same circumstances will be ready because they're connecting sleeping or cooking to God, and others won't be ready because all they think they're doing is cooking and sleeping. When they ask where this will take place, Jesus uses probably the strangest aphorism in the gospel. Where the body is, there will the vultures gather. What does that mean? Just as vultures find the corpse, so we are to find the kingdom. By these images, Jesus is motivating us to respond morally to a factual situation. The two people in bed together point to a married couple. One will be taken, one will be left behind. Watch out, Mom, because Dad will be taken. She was not even paying attention. I noticed the delay. Two women grinding meal in the kitchen of the Sacred Heart Convent. One will be taken, one will be left behind. We hope not. But what we're supposed to do is the one who's paying attention is supposed to help the other who's not. The moral lesson is we care, as Jesus does, for both. God doesn't want to leave either or anyone behind. But many are just not paying attention to the most important things. By this image, Jesus is not merely reminding us of the need to be alert, but to help wake others up from the ways they somnambulate, they sleepwalk through existence. Someone who is constantly living these truths, going from signed to signified, from the created world to God, from the gifts of the kingdom to the king and gift giver, is the great doctor of the church we celebrate today, St. Albert. He ended up writing 38 huge volumes, not just on theology and biblical interpretation, but as we know, physics, geography, astronomy, mineralogy, chemistry, biology. He's the patron saint of natural scientists. He studied very carefully the scientific principle of cause and effect. And from the effects he saw throughout creation, went back to their first cause. His prodigious output might lead us to presume that all of this came easy to him. It didn't. He needed to persevere through many struggles in his studies. He couldn't see the connections. He couldn't do the integration. He said later on in life that he'd become so discouraged that he was strongly inclined to return to secular life. But Our Lady appeared to him and promised to ask for him the illuminating grace in his studies that he would need if only he would persevere. He decided to persevere. He received that light. And he's been illuminating the church ever since. Our Lady is likewise interceding for us to receive a light, to go from the works of the artisan to her Son through whom all things were made. St. Albert's writings on science all began with wonder and gratitude for the way God the Creator had ordered the gift of his creation. It was an act of thanksgiving. It was an act of praise. He was able to pass on that wonder, gratitude, and praise to so many students. Even more so, his writings on the gift of sacred scripture and the mystery of who God is were an act of thanksgiving. He similarly communicated, leading people through his faith, hope, love, poverty, chastity, and obedience to the one who is the true wealth, the true love, the true source of freedom. So we pray in the opening prayer, God made him great by his joining of human wisdom and divine faith. We ask that through learning, we might come to the source of truth. Genuine faith seeks understanding, and Albert's faith radiated through all of his human learning. His faith led him to the source of it all, the Creator of the world, both visible and invisible. And in that source's presence, he now rejoices. The greatest way we have to acquire the capacity to view the whole world is sacramental, as signs leading to the signified happens here. This is where we recognize Jesus hidden under the appearances of bread and wine and learn how to respond. Jesus comes here. We should leave the rooftop and the field to come to meet him. The more we grasp that this is the most important thing that ever happens in the world on a given day, and the more we keep communion and awareness of him in the day, the easier it will be for us to go from created things to him, always. Today we pray that we may respond to the grace Our Lady is interceding for us to obtain, same way St. Albert did, and begin living and showing others how to live with this way of sacramental seeing. As vultures, let us go.